Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Changes are happening now at Earth's icy poles that scientists describe as astonishing. Up next is Robert Binshadler, chief scientist of the Hydrospheric and Biospheric Sciences Laboratory at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. Binshadler talks about the International Polar Year, which involves thousands of scientists from over 60 countries. And he talks about his field work on fast-moving ice streams and the leading edge of massive ice sheets. Here's Robert Binshadler. Dr. Binshadler, welcome to Earth and Sky.
Thank you very much.
We are in the midst of the International Polar Year. Could you tell us a little bit about that? What's going on? What are the scientists doing? And why are they doing this?
Well, the International Polar Year builds on a heritage of other International Polar Years going back about 125 years. There have been three other major efforts to get many countries working together and focusing their research in the polar regions, working together, doing more than any single country could do on its own.
What is some of the important research that's going to affect the folks back here at home?
The International Polar Year has blossomed to something, I think, much larger than any of the original planners ever expected. And the range of research really goes from soup to nuts, and about the physical environment in the polar regions, both north and south, the Arctic and the Antarctic, but it's also about the social environment, more specifically there in the Arctic, and how those two interact. So I think that's going to prove to be one of the hallmarks of this International Polar Year. Lots of projects looking at how the physical environment is changing and how that is impacting social structures in the polar regions, but also how those social structures are impacting the physical environment. And then even broader picture, how those changes in the polar regions are changing the rest of the planet.
Would you like to maybe tell us a little bit about the research that you're doing? It's a little more complicated than just perhaps thinking about it as Earth is getting warmer and it's melting more ice on top. Could you fill us in?
We're learning that it is a far more complex process and a linkage between individual processes that seems to be involved in how a changing climate results in an ice sheet shrinking and thereby raising sea level. And we're studying one of those places where it's happening most rapidly. And this is at the edge of the Antarctic ice sheet in a place in West Antarctica where the pattern of change indicates very strongly that it's the ocean that is driving these changes in the ice sheet, increasing the flow of ice off of the ice sheet into the ocean and thereby raising sea level. But there are many mysteries involved in the details of those processes, and we are just about to start a project to help unravel some of those mysteries.
We're talking about ice that's thousands of meters thick. How can you tell what's going on down there?
The primary means we've been using to see what's going on are satellites. Satellite data are extraordinarily powerful in showing us what's going on where we can't be present. And so through measurements of the changing elevation of the ice sheet, we see that it's thinning, and thinning very dramatically, meters per year, right at the edge of the West Antarctic ice sheet where we'll be starting our project. And we can also measure just the mass of ice with another satellite system. And that also confirms that mass is being lost at a fairly rapid rate in large portions of Antarctica and Greenland. So there are various tools that we're using right now, and they help guide field scientists and point them where to go, where the changes are really happening most dramatically, because that's where we can take best advantage of surface measurements.
I understand that you've taken several field trips yourself to Western Antarctica.
Well, I've been going to West Antarctica for about 25 years, off and on, 14 different field seasons, and most of my work has been studying what we call ice streams. These are very fast rivers of ice. By fast, I mean they may be going 500 meters per year, so a few feet per day. And they can be 20 miles across and about 60 miles long. So they're very large features. In fact, you can see them from space. And they're so large that when you're standing on them, you don't even recognize you're standing on an ice stream rather than slower-moving ice next to it, nor do you have the sensation of motion. But my most recent interest now has been drawn to the edges of the ice sheet, where it meets the water. And this is where the warmth in the ocean is tickling the ice sheet and encouraging it to go faster. And we want to understand why it responds that way.
This is something that you've written about before and describing as hitting the ice sheets where it hurts.
That's right. We think the ice sheet, in particular the West Antarctic ice sheet, is most vulnerable at its edge where it meets the water. And that's because the bottom of an ice sheet is the most, is where the real action takes place. That's where the ice is warmest because of geothermal heat. That's where the stresses forcing the ice to move are largest because it has the weight of the full ice sheet above it. And so it's in these areas that if the heat contained in the water can get to the base of the ice, it can have an enormous effect on its flow rate. And it's right there at the edge of an ice sheet where the water can just flow down the underside of the ice shelf, which is kind of the floating rind around the edge of the ice sheet, and follow the edge of the ice sheet right down to great depths where the ice is most vulnerable to reacting to that introduction of heat and melting that ice.
Could we talk a little bit about how that's going to affect the rest of the world? The IPCC earlier this year, they came out with a report predicting sea level rises.
Yeah, I think the IPCC report was really remarkable in doing a very good job of synthesizing what we do know about from direct observations, what we do know about ice sheets and what their impact on sea level has been. I think they also did a very good job of collecting predictions from the very best climate models of what is going to happen to the climate in the next 100 years. But what was so astonishing about that report is not so much in some of the numbers, but in some of the fine print that you had to read. What the IPCC report said when it came to future sea level was that it gave the numbers that came out of the models, and it gave a range from different scenarios. But it also said that we do not know what the impact will be of rapid changes in the dynamics of the ice sheets. We observe that these changes are going on, and our models are incapable of including that dynamic response. So we do not know what the upper bound of sea level change might be in the next century. That's what the report said, and I think it served as a real call to action to my community of ice dynamics experts to learn what these processes are so that we can make credible predictions. But what the IPCC report said was that we can't make that prediction right now. We simply do not know enough about how the ice sheets behave.
I'd like to ask you kind of a real basic question here, but scientists who are studying these regions, how do they characterize these changes? Is this a tipping point? What does that mean?
I would say the reason Earth scientists are so concerned now really comes back to the issue of timescales. Yes, the Earth's climate has gone through enormous variations in its climate, warmer, colder, larger ice sheets, smaller ice sheets. But the timescale of the changes that we see now just astonish the experts. Things are changing much, much faster than we ever thought they could. Most of the most recent observations, whether it's the extent of sea ice and how much is left at the end of summer, or whether it's the sudden acceleration and thinning of glaciers around the edges of the ice sheets, these fall outside of our models. Our very best models can't even simulate the very rapid changes that we observe are happening right now. So I think it's that has really shook us up and say that this is well beyond natural variations. And these are rates that set us well outside. It's kind of the slow waxing and waning of the climate that we know is part of the Earth's history. We're well outside that now.
That was Earth scientist Robert Binshadler of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center on the International Polar Year. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.